I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the 138th Psalm. A psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise, a psalm of endurance, speaking of an enduring soul. Psalm 138. Waiting for the pages to stop rattling so I know folks are there. I always hated for somebody to say, we're going to read from such and such, turn to it, and then they start reading immediately, and by the time you get there, they're finished. So, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. You know, we are creatures of habit. In some things more than others. Sometimes those habits bring us to simply do things from rote memory. Sometimes we plod through the day, step by step, without any real conception of what's going on around us. When I was working on my MDiv and then my THM at Southeastern Seminary, and we were living in Burlington, I could tell you, without even looking, the names of every exit between Burlington and where I got off at Highway 98 in Durham to take that little two-lane road. And I could even tell you just about every name of every little crossing road for the 22 miles that I had to drive on Highway 98. The saying that one could get there in their sleep was very likely true after those 5.5 years of driving anywhere from 3 to 4 times a week. We do many things simply out of habit. Sometimes we even pray the same prayers with very little thought as to what we are uttering. I've been amazed over the years as to what some people think the Lord's Prayer contains. Our Father, we chart in heaven. Hallowed by your name. Holly would be your name. And all kinds of other things. I do remember one student, and I've shared this with some of you before, who, and the student was from Myrtle Beach, so I guess maybe kind of subliminally, wrote, "For 10 is the kingdom. And the power and the glory." But we sometimes do things so much out of habit and from rote memory that we don't really pay attention. And we really aren't very sustainable or sustained at that time. Sometimes we give simple answers to questions with no real attempt to truly communicate. Perhaps thinking no one really wants to know. How are you? Okay. And then go on our separate ways. I had a student a number of years ago at Gardner Webb who I asked him how he was doing one day. He said, "Well, I'm doing really terribly." And I stopped. I said, "Well, Michael, what's wrong?" And he stopped 5 steps on past me. He stopped and he said, "Well, I didn't think anybody really cared, so that's just what I said to see if anybody would pay any attention. There's really nothing wrong." I said, "Well, no. Okay. Other than the fact that you just fibbed to me, but we'll let that pass." How many times do we do those kinds of things? without any real depth of experience. And then sometimes that leads us, it becomes such a habit, it leads us to the same kind of expression or lack of expression, even to God, when we feel something deep within our souls that stirs us and we just kind of push it off to the side. Now, some of the things we experience obviously are not pleasant, while some are overwhelming in their goodness. And yet, how often do we fail to tell God, not just thanks, but to really tell God what is going on in our lives? How often do we try to hide, even from God, the one who knows us and who knows our soul even far better than we do? The psalm under consideration today is one in which the psalmist expresses his deeply felt praise to God, his thanksgiving for deliverance from enemies, for deliverance from difficult situations. It is a spontaneous psalm, or song uttered unto God, and is a lifting of the heart, not to an imagined presence, not even half-heartedly lifted to God. You know, sometimes we lift our prayers just half-heartedly. But rather, it is a deeply felt, spontaneous prayer to God who is very real and very present in the psalmist's life. It is deeply felt praise. You know, praise takes all kinds of forms and comes from all kinds of places within us. Some praise springs from a general recognition that we depend on God. And sometimes it's expressed in a quietly restrained manner. Some praise may come from an intense encounter with God, maybe an encounter of deliverance from something that has touched us very deeply and results in a highly emotional and vocal utterance of praise. Still, other praise may come from enduring and emerging from a time of darkness. Darkness in life, or maybe even darkness within our own souls. There are so many opportunities for praise and so many forms for praise. And the psalmist here offers that praise to God for mercy shown in his recent life experiences. And that's something else that we need to remember, that our praise to God comes from our experience of God and our experience with God. Now, some scholars claim that this is an individual psalm of David. Some that it is a corporate psalm of thanksgiving. But it clearly shows that a crisis has been overcome in the person's life. Not by human efforts. Not by the things that he or she has done in and of themselves, but rather this crisis has been overcome by God. And that has touched the psalmist all the way to his soul. That which is considered the very core of one's being. Who we are and what we are. The psalmist has experienced the fulfillment of God's gracious promise. God's promise to care, to watch over him. And his thanksgiving, he says, comes from his whole heart. Not just a portion. Not just that which is on the surface, but even from the deep, dark recesses where sometimes he may try to hide, he knows that God is there and expresses that praise given openly. Openly before God and openly before others. Any supposed gods have proven impotent in the face of Yahweh and what God has done. And the joy the writer has found is victory. It's victory, not defeat. It's victory in God, not in the efforts of man. And he recognizes that no matter what he tries to do, no matter what others try to do, They will not be successful without that connection to God. He even calls on kings and rulers to share his praise of God, because what he has found in God is gospel. It's good news. Not just for him, it is good news. It is gospel for the entire world, from the lowest to the highest. And that though the Lord is high, he cares for the lowly. And he brings his strength to bear upon life. Not just the spiritual life, but God brings his strength and his guidance to bear upon all areas of life. This knowledge and assurance then causes the writer to declare, "His soul is strengthened. You have strengthened my soul, and it endures." Since God's name and word are steadfast and faithful, he knows that those who are frustrated find comfort and the ability to endure. That is, to endure or withstand whatever life throws at them. I was at the hospital yesterday and I was visiting someone in ICU. And just a few beds over, there was singing. And then there was prayer. As a family, including the 89, soon to be 90-year-old husband, sang and prayed, the 87-year-old wife and mother on her journey. This year they would have been married 70 years. She and he were both flown in Friday evening from North Carolina. Both had congestive heart failure and other problems. He was experiencing chest pain. She went in and called in the house, called EMS, and rushed back out to find him lying in the yard, at which point, as neighbors were gathering, she had a massive heart attack. They brought him up from his room to sit by her bed. And as she was carried by God in peace and in gentleness, and as he sat there in his grief, even in the middle of that, he sang. He sang hymns. And he kissed her and said, "I love you, and I will see you again one day." I talked with him later as they wheeled him out and down the hallway, headed back to his room there in the hospital, and found within him a very strong and enduring person, an enduring soul. One who had the ability to withstand whatever came, not because of his own efforts, but he was very quick to say, because of what God is doing and has done within him and within the life of his wife and his whole family. The psalmist speaks here then of that kind of conviction. That kind of conviction and persuasion that nothing can destroy. Not even death can destroy it. With such a faith, one can be sustained in adversity as well as in good times. Many times the only time we offer praise to God is when things are going well. Yet an enduring soul, one that has been strengthened by God, can offer praise even in the difficult circumstances. Yet this is not a boast of self-righteousness. Rather, as the psalmist says, it is a recognition that one is humbled when she or he considers who God is and how God comes to save the lowly and even kings. For they are no more precious in God's sight than a believing beggar. And that helps the psalmist to gain strength and endurance. Endurance to withstand whatever comes his way. But simply enduring difficulties in life is not all that this idea of an enduring soul indicates. The psalmist also realizes that his soul has been revived and made into a great gift that endures, that is, that lasts forever as one of God's creations. The enduring soul recognizes the source of life and praise, even for common events of living. Horatius Bonar wrote a hymn entitled, "Fill Thou My Life, O Lord My God." And part of that hymn reads, "Praise in the common things of life, its goings out and in. Praise in each duty and each deed, however small and mean." However menial it may be, even there is praise. And yet we have to be careful that our acts of praise do not become rote and lose their meaning. Sometimes they do, even in times of stress and duress. Our attention may wander when we gather for worship, and our praise becomes listless and lifeless within us if we are not careful. Or we spout rote platitudes with no real life in them, nor any real conviction. The enduring soul, though, is one that is in touch with God at all points of living, and not just at church, but in all points of living. When one finds her or himself under the shadow of sickness or despair, and God's steadfastness comes within their lives, there is no question that thanksgiving and praise emanate from deep within the soul. When uncertainty looms for loved ones serving in the military, the enduring soul finds cause to rejoice, even with the simple songs that may come, or the simple thought of God's graciousness. The enduring soul within is exuberant when persons feel themselves redeemed, when they believe truly that God's Spirit has given them freedom and liberty, and when they have felt themselves to really be children blessed and claimed by God. In other words, each one of us should find that endurance within our own souls, recognizing that we are not only blessed by God, but God claims us as children. Worship by the enduring soul is both personal and corporate, expressing a common faith and a common belief in the glory of God's ways. And that worship is offered in living the graciousness that God gives to us, not just when we gather in times like this. But that's not all. This psalm also indicates that the worship of an enduring soul includes both anticipation and preparation. While the psalmist looks back to the deliverance of the past in verse 7, his vision does not remain there as he continues on. As he takes stock of both past and present, he forms plans for the future, for a future life with God, a life that will endure, that is, a life that will last. He doesn't know what the future will bring, but he knows that he can face it, and he can face it without overwhelming fear, because his conviction is rooted in God's creative activity within both the world and within people. Individuals. As we said before, we shall fail if we concentrate on our own learning or organization alone. We shall fail if we rely only on our gifts or our individual experience. We shall succeed only when we, like the psalmist, believe that God is preparing us for greater endeavors as our souls become enduring in Him and through Him. When we realize that, and when we allow God to work in such a way that our soul is an enduring, deep feeling, deeply understanding part of who we are, then we can repeat like the psalmist at the end of this passage, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." That is, do not forsake my enduring soul, for I am your work as well. We are creatures of habit, but we are also creatures with whom God wishes to have that forever relationship, not just in church, but in school, on the job, at play, even at rest. Do not forsake the work of your hands in my enduring soul. May we pray. Our most gracious God, far too often we fail to truly look deep within and give You our entire being. And yet You know each and everything about us and about our soul. For this we give You thanks. We also return thanks to You for light and for air, for the sweet sense of sound and smell, for ears to hear heavenly harmony, for eyes to see the unseen in the world around us, for visions of You, the worker, in the work that occurs, and for hearts to comprehend You everywhere that we turn, even when we look within. Cause our souls to be enduring souls, that others might be able to endure in Your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we offer these prayers and ourselves to You. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 656. Take time to be holy. Speak often with the Lord. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a decision for God, a decision to profess belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior, a decision to join with this fellowship, a decision to truly take that time each and every day to commit ourselves anew to becoming enduring souls, speaking often with God and allowing God to speak to our soul and through our souls. Hymn number 656.